Hello and welcome to Travels Through a Kingdom. You're with myself, Kaya Flynn, until 7 this evening, and I do hope I find you well. Firstly, I want to start off Travels Through a Kingdom with a huge thank you to everyone who got in touch about Niall Kelleher's interview last Sunday. There was a numerous amount of text messages and good wishes for her, and she was so well spoken as well. So thank you again, Niall, for coming on. And if you want to catch up on an interview, or if you want to send it to anyone who might be interested, have a look at our podcast section on radiokerry.ie or on Spotify, and just search Travels Through a Kingdom there, and you'll see Niall's lovely smile in the picture on the podcast for you to share. Now, on with tonight's show, we have the archive of Sean Hurley. We will meet a Kilmoily woman to talk all things singing and Dolly Day, and we'll have much more. But to start tonight's show, I want to say a huge thank you to all who have sent me their good wishes and thoughts on the Kerry Roast selection over the last few days. It's been amazing. I suppose I kind of kept it a bit quiet because I had that whole, I was a bit nervous, and who wouldn't be? If you weren't nervous, you wouldn't really care about it, would you? But seeing all your messages and your good support, and you know, people giving me rings and, you know, good luck wishes, it means so much more than you'll ever imagine. Even though, you know, you're just typing something on your keyboard or something like that, it's something I will cherish forever and I will never forget. So I'm currently pre-recorded at the moment because the Kerry Roast selection is this evening. So currently I'm right in the Heights Hotel in Killarney. So there's me and 13 other girls, and every single one of them, and I mean it to the bottom of my heart, are so lovely and so well deserving, and they're just really kind. You know, I suppose a lot of the reason why I wanted to do this was because I wanted to make friends and people my own age and people, you know, who've gone through, you know, different parts of life, and we'll all learn from each other. And I suppose as we get older, it does get a bit harder to make friends. So this was a wonderful experience. And my advice would be, if you had ever thought about entering it, and there's always next year, if you've ever thought about entering it, do it. Just do it with your hand on your heart and just say, I'm just going to see what happens and go from there, because it'll be the best decision you make. I've made such happy memories so far. I had a great day out at the Kingdom County Fair, and I met loads of people there, and just, you know, it's been great. And that's all I can say. Now, with that in mind, I thought it would be a brilliant idea to bring up the Kerry Rose of 2022, Aideen O'Connell, on the programme tonight. And Aideen talks all things about what has been like for the Kerry Rose selection last year, what that experience was like, the year she's had of representing Kerry as the Kerry Rose, and how she feels handing it over. So Aideen, let's talk about your year as being a Kerry Rose. Did you, when you decided to actually put yourself forward to, you know, go for the Kerry Rose entrance, what was going through your head and why?
So, not much, which makes it sound very bad, but I was extremely last minute. So I decided, someone had sent it to me, someone I was working with was like, I think you should enter. And I suppose, like, you're from Kerry and it's always a part growing up. And, you know, your mother would often say, she'd be like, oh, I'd love if one of you were a rose. She used to always want my cousin to be a rose. And like, I'd watch myself and be like, oh, that'd be, you know, nice. Imagine being up there. It must be lovely. But I never thought I'd do it. So then when I was, this girl, she'd sent me the application form, said enter it. So then I put in the application form, and then I was humming and hawing. I was so in between. And on the last day, I got chatting to Geraldine Hurley, who's very well known in Tralee, Oliver Hurley's wife. And I was telling her, and she goes, I was like, oh, I can't do it because of work and this. And I wasn't around for any of the tour bits that were coming up because I was away with work. And she said, just do it. She was like, just do it. So anyway, I did it. And I think it was the very last day. And I was like, okay. And then a few weeks later, then I was Kerry Rose. So it was mad. And even on the night itself, I went in with no expectations. I just said, it's going to be a nice night out. It was an excuse to get dressed up. And I went in then, and just like everything changed. Then all of a sudden it was magical when I look back at it.
Oh, and when you did get announced, you know, your name was put forward and you were announced as the Kerry Rose, what, can you remember what you were going through or how you felt, or was it just jaw dropping?
Oh, it was, because there's a video somewhere, and I looked at it a bit like after the event itself, and you can see like my leg, I'm really relaxed. I have like an elbow up on the chair and I'm like kicking my leg, because I was like, in my head, I was like, I wonder which of the girls now is going to be picked, because I wasn't like, it was not in my head. And then Jai called me out, and then I immediately looked back at my parents because my jaw was open. I don't think anyone was expecting it. And then after that, then the whole thing was just a complete blur. Like, I was brought up to the stage. Then they had the set. And I just kept being like, no, 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 no. I just remember saying that. No, 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 no. And then Sally Ann Leahy, who was the outgoing role, she was like, just take it all in. Just take it all in. And then Dahi was like, I was like, it's not happening. And he's like, it is happening. He's like, get used to it. I was like, oh my God. So I just, to be honest, I can't, it was a bit of a blur, a lovely blur, but it was just mad. The whole thing, God, it's mad to think about.
And from going from, you know, being announced as the Kerry Rose to your whole year as being Kerry Rose, and you go to so many events, you're mm-hmm. I see you everywhere. How mm-hmm. has it been, and what has your year been like?
It's been busy. It's been very busy. Last summer was, I have to say at times, very manic. And as I'm a freelancer and I work for myself, so I tried to balance that with events. And like, it's not that you have to go to all these events, but I wanted to make the most out of it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the previous roses I talked to had all said the same thing. They were like, make the most of it when you can, go to everything when you can. And someone else has said to me, you know, just get on the ride and don't let go. It's only a year of your life. And I think that's what I did. And a lot of people said to me, they were like, you were everywhere. And I was like, yeah, but I wanted to. And it was nice because I wanted to go meet the people in Kerry and I wanted to meet the community. And I got to do that. Now, by October, I was definitely worn out. Like, I was a bit burnt out. And then it kind of quietened down, but it got busy again, because I think one of the most unique things about being the Kerry Rose is that a lot of the other rose centres would kind of, after August, it would kind of dim. But the Kerry Roses, you're constantly doing stuff, and you're constantly doing stuff in the county, which is lovely because it does keep it going for the entire 12 months. But I'll have a nice little quiet time now after after Sunday. I think the show's going out on Sunday, isn't it?
It is.
So
it is.
I'll be relaxing the day after tomorrow, let's say, to all the people who are listening. I'll be in pure relaxation mode.
And tell me this, Aideen, you know, you're representing Kerry and you're representing your county. Mm-hmm. Like, how does that feel?
That was probably, I think that's the proudest thing that I have done, and that's, I think, why I loved it so much. I don't think it would have been as special if I maybe had moved to London ever and I decided to go for the London Rose. I think just being able to be your county rose is so fabulous, and I am a big believer in the County Kerry. I adore the place, I adore the people. I always feel so lucky that I come from Kerry, and I said it numerous times along the way this year, I was like, I was never a footballer. I couldn't play a sport to save my life. And I was never going to wear a Kerry jersey ever on like a national stage. So that was what it was for me. Like, it was I was wearing my Gansey, you know, for the county. And it was so special. And the support, like, I always have to say, but from my own communities in Larkinpawn, Listowel, and Glendary, they were so amazing to me from the minute I was announced. And they just went above and beyond for me. And it just made me so, so proud. But the support from the whole county was amazing. Made me so proud to be from the kingdom.
That's very sweet. I actually remember last year we were covering the Rose of Tralee on our digital platforms. And I was taking pictures of some of the people that had banners. And one of the people that had the banners was your parents. And they were so proud of you, Aideen. Like, what have they been like over the last couple of months?
Well, the funniest thing is that when I was announced as the Kerry Rose last year, everyone in my family got up off their seats and screamed to Tira, except my father. My father put his head in his hands and went, oh, Jesus Christ. Because I'd say he didn't know what the year was going to be. But you know what was funny? Like, my parents, like, and I know they're so proud of me and my whole family was, but what was so nice, I think, for me to see as well, like, there's so many images I have of them from Tralee, and particularly the parades and them out in the street with the banners and just the look. There's one image I have of them all standing out in the Sunday parade and just the smiles on their faces. But they all got to see a different side of the festival. Because obviously we would have went to it, you know, when you're from Kerry, you go in, whether it's into the amusements or you go to, you know, the fashion show, or you go in to see the roses. But to be a part of it is so totally different. And they said that they had the best 5 days ever. They loved every second of it, from the ball to the Castle Bar, which was my pub twinning. They had an amazing time. So they have great memories too, which is lovely, because I think as much as you are a part of it yourself as the Rose, your family are such a big part of it as well, from the beginning to the end. So that was lovely for them as well.
And it must have been so much easier for you as well to be able to, you know, put yourself out there knowing that they were always going to be there behind you.
Oh yeah, 100%. And like, my mom, even during the summer, because as I was saying with the freelancing, like, I remember there was days when I'd be in the car and we'd be driving 2 hours down the county, like, to go maybe into a nursing home or a school, and I would have the laptop out working, hotspotting off my phone and mom would be driving me. So like all those things, like, they all add up and they do help you. You need, like, it is a fun, because it is a busy time and you can't do it on your own because there's a lot of prep and there's a lot of time. And even the night before we went on the tour, my Auntie Katrina came up to my house and her and my mother had labelled all my clothes and while I was doing other things. And you need that support from your family and your friends. And I definitely got that in spades.
And you say also, like, about your community, but let's talk about where you come from and what's it been like as you grew up there.
I'm from a small little town called Glendary. So it's in between Rahi and Arcapon. I got a bit of flack and I need to set the record straight. When I was on the night of my TV night, I said that Arcapon is less posh. That wasn't me saying it. That is said by people it's like a bit of a rivalry between Rahi and Arcapon, because the people in Arcapon always say, oh, look at the posh lads coming up from Rahi Church. I just want to say, I don't take that. I'm very, very proud of where I'm from, but I come from small little place. I'm also, let's say, Listowel is 10 minutes away from me. My mother grew up in the town. So I've always felt very much a part of three different areas. So Larkinpawn, I would have went to the summer camps up in Larkinpawn and up to the Ampijandi Festival. And then obviously Rahi, St. Sinan's is my football club and they're a great support this year. And then Listowel is a big part of my life as well. And I'm very much, I don't know if I'd say I'm a home bird, but I'm just extremely proud of where I'm from. And I know that I wouldn't be the person I am if it wasn't for the people around me and the community that I've grown up in. So it was quiet, you know, we really live now, we're rural, like there's a bog behind us. Now I didn't go to the bog that much as a youngster, but it's small, it's quiet. But I think, because when I lived in Dublin and when I went to college, and I suppose in the industry that I'm in, you meet lots of different people. But I think coming from rural Ireland in particular, it just gives you a different perspective. Like, I think sometimes if you come from more of a maybe a cosmopolitan place, you might not see the differences in life in rural Ireland. But I think I have been able to see both, which I think it's a great positive to go through your life with. But no, it was lovely. I had a lovely upbringing, calm. I wouldn't say I'm a farmer. Now, a lot of my family would say, shouldn't have been born on the farm, but I did go up there the odd bit. But no, it was lovely, and I'm very proud to have grown up here and in the stall. And yeah, I've some great memories from my childhood up until now. It's been fab.
Well, I imagine as well, like you say, you see the world from two different points of view, but you probably saw it from so many other points of views when you met all the other roses from across the world.
Oh God, yeah, 100%. And it's funny, like, you know, and you've your American roses and you have, you know, you've your London rose and you've the girls from Australia and stuff. And you think like you're going to be polar opposites, but there is so much in common as well, because I suppose we're all young girls, all trying to find our way in the world. And we were able to bond over that. And I think as well, a lot of people ask me now, like, what did you learn coming out of the rose? Because I think for so many girls, it helped them grow as people and it helped them grow in confidence. And I think I went into, not that I was quite confident, but I suppose my job is very front facing and I didn't really take any notice of the cameras or being on stage or anything like that. But I think one thing it's probably taught me is, you know, from talking to the other roses, and they're really going for stuff in their life. And if they want to do something, they do it. And they these big plans, and it kind of made me look, I suppose, at my own life and be like, what I want to do and what I really want to do, what makes me happy. And I know that it's like, oh my gosh, she's really looking deep at it. But when you're with that many people for so long and you're chatting and you go through this big experience, you're kind of like, yeah, you kind of come back. And I'm like, even now I call this like a chapter. It was a wonderful chapter in my life. And, you know, it's going to close, but it's time for the next chapter. And I'm so excited to write it with all this knowledge and with all these perspectives that I've got from the girls, because I think they're pushing me on and we still all chat all the time. And I think it's just made me a bit more determined, I think, to kind of live the life that I want, you know, because life is short as well. And you do, I think, one thing with the rose tree, because it is a big thing, you take this jump, it's a split second decision. But like, it just shows you to go for things, like go out there, and if you want something, go for it, take a chance, even if you're not sure. If you're not sure, that's probably the best feeling to have, because it turns out way better than you ever expected. You've no expectations, that's the thing. And you really should just jump for things and just go for it and don't have fear. Because I know that does hold us back a lot. So Actually, I have. I'm like, I didn't learn anything. I've learned a lot. I'm like, wow.
Well, tell me this, Aideen. What was the best bit of advice you got before, you know, the festival and everything started? And what bit of advice would you give to the next Rose coming up?
So as I said earlier, it was this, I can't remember who said it to me, but it's the one thing I kept coming back to. And it was, I remember them looking at me, and I totally forget who it is, but they were just like, okay, get on the ride, grab on, don't let go, have the time of your life. And that's what I did. I just embraced it from start to finish. And I'm so glad that I did. And I think for the next girl, that's exactly what I would say as well. I would just go in, embrace it, be yourself. And it's a cliche thing when you're in it and you hear it all the time, but there's nothing else you can do. You know, there's no formula or potion. And even the Rose of Tree, Rachel Duffy, would say herself, there's no formula to it. You just go and you just be yourself. You enjoy yourself and just make the most of every single second, because the year flies and it goes so quickly. So just make sure that you take it in and you enjoy it and just have the crack, because it's an amazing experience.
Oh, well, Aideen, you've been such a wonderful role model over the past 12 months. And even now that I am putting myself forward for it and just being able to talk to you, I think it made every single girl that has gone for it this year realise that you can be genuinely just yourself, because there's people like you who are, you're more than yourself, you know, and it really comes across and it makes us feel more secure in ourselves, if that makes sense.
Yeah, and I can just say the best look, because I know this will be out and we'll all be dressed up when this is out, and just want to say to all the listeners that all the girls are fabulous and I'm going to be like a proud mammy on stage watching y'all. I'm so excited for you. I just think you're the best group of girls. You're so lovely and you should be so proud of yourselves so far. You've done yourselves and your county proud.
And that was Aideen O'Connell, the 2022 Kerry Rose. And what a wonderful person she is. I'm sure a lot of you who has met Aideen will say the same thing. She's a very proud Kerry woman. She comes from a little bog area, as she says. And, you know, I could relate to her so much from that experience as well. But such a heartwarming, bubbly and kind person. A real true Rose, in my opinion, if you were to ask me. In the meantime, if you want to get in touch, you can email myself, kflynn@radiokerry.ie. But now we must take a short break. And you're very welcome back to tonight's Travels Through a Kingdom. You're with myself, Kaya Flynn, on air until 7 here on Radio Kerry. Well, now let's take the show to Kilmoyle and we will meet Nell Moore Ryan. Nell is a 22-year-old singer and she joined me during the week to talk all things singing and Dolly Day in June.
I'm Nell Moore Ryan and I am from Kilmoyle in County Kerry.
Okay, Nell, I've never had anyone from Kilmoyle on before, so tell me a bit about Kilmoyle.
It's a lovely little place. There's only a church and a pub across from each other. There is a school and a community centre and all the necessities, but it's quite a small little place, but it's nice. It's a lovely little area.
It has the things that you need.
So
tell us a bit about growing up in Kilmoyle. What was it like and how did it inspire you in your whole musical life?
Well, I was very lucky growing up. I was surrounded by a lot of nature. So I live near farmland. So, you know, got to see the seasons change, and that can be quite inspiring in general, you know, not just with music. So I was very lucky in that way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And what kind of music are you interested in? Like, I know for the moment we have you in here and you're going to be singing some very classic songs. But what are you interested in?
I like folk. So I think everybody knows Joni Mitchell. That would be one of the first songs I remember knowing to sing was Big Yellow Taxi by Joni Mitchell. But I've been really getting into musical theatre I'm doing singing exams and a lot of them are musical theatre. So I'm really getting into some like Stephen Sondheim and Lin-Manuel Miranda lately, which is good fun.
And how old were you when you started singing?
I was 22, properly. I guess everybody's been singing their entire life, but I'd only properly started working on it when I was 22, really.
Mm-hmm. And you take those lessons again, as you said, with Laura Lee Curtin. So what's she like and what's the lessons like?
She's wonderful. She's very encouraging. You know, I would be quite a nervous person myself, and I'm the person who I sing and I stare at the floor and I don't know how to do anything else. And I stand, I'm like rigid and I don't move my face. And by the time have been working with her about 9 months now, and I've been able to, I told my mum the other day, the trajectory of my neck has moved up about 90 degrees. So I can look at a person now, or at least look in their general direction. I'm not staring at the floor anymore. Mm-hmm. And she's been really encouraging me to get better at that.
What does that feel like when you can actually lift your head up and even make eye contact with someone while you're singing? Because I can imagine it's a very nervous process.
It's definitely a skill. It's something you do have to learn. But it can be quite empowering in a way. And it also, if you're a person and you need to emote a song, which can be difficult, it helps if you have, you know, the right posture, almost like you hear people talk about like the superwoman pose. It's nice to have that kind of root of like, what would the character do? And that can help. Even if you're just singing, I don't know, something off the radio, it can help and boost your confidence a good bit.
And is there a lot of people doing the singing lessons with you, or are you kind of on your own? Or
I do them one-to-one, but I know there's a couple other people do them.
So have you sang with other people?
Not properly. When I was in college, we would have done, I did a music performance course in KCFE, and we would have had to do projects and things together. So I would have sung with other people, but it wouldn't have been like properly organised. Like it wouldn't be a choir or anything like that. But it's good fun, and it's, again, it's a good skill to know to sing with other people.
Now, you also mentioned to me that music and singing and it all comes from both sides of your family. So tell us a bit about that.
Well, I actually didn't know much about it, but on one side of my family, I have my grandfather, who was a singer and a clarinet player, which I never knew. I found out he sang when I watched my aunt's wedding video, and I was like, who's singing? And I was like, your granddad. I was like, wow. And then on my other side, I have a trombone player. He was a jazz trombone. I've unfortunately never met him, but I've heard he was quite good. And so I think those influences are definitely there. And both my parents would be quite musical as well. Don't play instruments, but have like good ears and for music and things like that.
How does it make you feel that time when you realised it was your grandfather singing? How did it make you feel?
Oh, I was incredibly proud of him. I mean, I'm always proud of my granddad, but I was very proud of him that, you know, even to get up and stand at your own daughter's wedding and sing, that's quite a big thing to do. And I just, you know, not surprising, he's an amazing guy, but it was really impressive to see him do it.
Mm. What does he think about you and your singing?
He probably actually knows very little because I'm very nervous. I'm very nervous to sing in front of my family because I know they'd be completely supportive, but I just, it's too much.
Constructive criticism? Or?
Oh, no, they just, it's, you know, they're the people, you wouldn't want to let them down even though you know you won't, you know. But he's incredibly supportive. All my family, I'm very lucky. They're incredibly supportive and they're always, you know, encouraging me to do more at my own pace, which is always a good help.
Yeah, they sound wonderful.
They're very lucky.
Yes. When you were in college, you were raising funds as well. So tell us a bit about that. Did you go to college during the COVID period?
Yes. So I would have started in September 2020. So we were, when we started, we did have some classes in person, but as the year went on, we were just almost totally online. But we decided to do a fundraiser where we would perform live stream. So we basically did a concert over the internet, and we were very lucky. We were able to raise €1,000 for Pieta House, which was, we were delighted. We never thought we'd reach that goal. And we were stunned by all the generosity, like the college, and it was very supportive. We had so many people donate. We were just over the moon with how generous people were.
And tell us, how did the online concert work, or what was the structure of it?
It was kind of, we basically put together a concert, we rehearsed a concert, we had a set list, and then we just recorded it on a phone and live streamed. I think we used Instagram and Facebook, and people could watch. And I think people said it was quite good. You know, I'm happy with how it went. I think people were quite happy with how it went.
And by doing that course, did it help you in your confidence as well? And, you know, maybe even taking that step to go to Lauralee Curtin to do your one-to-one lessons?
Well, I had actually done lessons at Lauralee before COVID, but we'd had to stop. So it was kind of nice to start again. And also I met people who, well, I met wonderful people, which is always a bonus, but I met wonderful people who had same interests as me. And, you know, I've been able to do some pretty cool things with some of those people. So, you know, it really, again, yeah, it was a really good way to help with my confidence.
Oh, that's brilliant. You sound like a wonderful person inside and out.
Thank you. So do you.
And tell me this, you are doing a bit for Dolly Day. So tell us a bit about Dolly Day. Tell us what you're doing, and then you're going to be performing us a little note.
Yes. So Dolly Day, I'm just here as a representative today. I'm very kindly been asked by the Dolly Day committee to come in and do a bit of promotion for them. So Dolly Day is a wonderful event that's happening on the Saturday, the 24th of June this year, so in Listowel. So they will be trying to get as many Dolly Partons in one place to break the Guinness Book World Record. And it's in aid of Kerry Hospice Foundation and Comfort for Chemo Kerry. So they're two really good organisations and it's a bit of fun. So
what's the record at the moment for the most dollies in one place?
I actually don't know.
We must Google that.
We must Google it. Yes, yes. But I would recommend going to the Dolly Day on Facebook, and they have an Eventbrite as well. So just Dolly Day, and it's all the information is there. It's like if you've any questions, I'm sure they're happy to answer them for you. You know, just and if you don't want to take part, you can purchase a ticket, and they'll have a viewing area. So that you know, if you're not one to dress up, you can still do your part.
And what songs, what Dolly songs are you hoping to sing today?
So I was hoping I might get to sing Jolene and 9 to 5, if that's all right.
Of course it is. Now, before you actually do that, I want to ask, why those two songs in particular and how do you feel when you sing them?
I think I picked those two. Well, Jolene is a classic. It's very well known. Part of the reason I know it is actually I just did an exam and it was on the syllabus, so I had to go through it all on a technical front, but it was... It's just a classic and it's a really good song. But 9 to 5, I kind of thought it's a bit peppier and a bit happier. And, you know, a lot of people know that song and have, at some stage in their life have probably felt how the song...
And they can sing along to it as well, which
exactly,
is one of those things.
The most important part.
Perfect. Well, before we get to that, I want to say thank you so much, Nell, for coming in here and for giving me your time and just telling us a bit about yourself, because it's wonderful to meet lovely, inspiring people like yourself.
Thank you for having me. And do look up Dolly Day on Facebook and Eventbrite.
Tumble out of bed and I stumble to the kitchen. Pour myself a cup of ambition and yawn and stretch and try to come to life. Jump in the shower and the blood starts pumping. Out on the streets the traffic starts jumping with folks like me on the job from 9 to 5. Working 9 to 5, what a way to make a living. Barely getting by, it's all taken and no giving. They just use your mind and never give you credit. It's enough to drive you crazy if you let it. 9 to 5, for service and devotion. You would think that I would deserve a fair promotion. Try to get ahead, but the boss won't seem to let me. I swear sometimes that man is out to get me. They let you dream just to watch them shatter. You're just a step on the boss man's ladder, but you've got dreams he'll never take away. In the same boat as a lot of your friends, waiting for the day your ship will come in and the tide's gonna turn and it's all gonna roll you away. Working 9 to 5, they got you where they want you. There's a better life and you dream about it, don't you? It's a rich man's game, no matter what they call it. And you spend your life putting money in his wallet. 9 to 5, what a way to make a living. Barely getting by, it's all taken and no giving. They just use your mind and never give you credit. It's enough to drive you crazy if you let it. Dolly Day on the 24th of June. Won't you come on down and dress up so we can count you? Check our Facebook for all important information. Can't wait to see you in our Dolly congregation.
And that was a very clever twist to the 9 to 5 at the end there. She made me smile when she was singing that at the end. We'll be back with Nell singing Jolene just after the break. But if you want to get in touch, you can do so by emailing myself, kflynn@radiokerry.ie. Back after these.
Jolene, 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 I'm begging of you, please don't take my man. Jolene, 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 don't take him just because you can. Your beauty is beyond compare, with flaming locks of auburn hair, with ivory skin and eyes of emerald green. Your smile is like a breath of spring, your voice is soft like summer rain, and I cannot compete with you, Jolene. He talks about you in his sleep, there's nothing I can do to keep from crying when he calls your name, Jolene. And I can easily understand how you could easily take my land, but you don't know what he means to me, Jolene. Jolene, 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 I'm begging of you, please don't take my man. Jolene, 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 please don't take him just because you can. You could have your choice of men, but I could never love again. He's the only one for me, Jolene. I had to have this talk with you. My happiness depends on you and whatever you decide to do, Jolene. Jolene, 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 I'm begging of you, please don't take my man. Jolene, 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 please don't take him even though you can. Jolene, Jolene.
And that was Nell singing Jolene for us here on Travels Through a Kingdom. Now, and to be honest, if I was Jolene or Dolly Parton myself, I wouldn't want the men. And I don't think either of them need him, being honest with you, if they're fighting for him. So they could do a lot better without him. But isn't Nell such a wonderful singer? And thank you so much for coming on the show, Nell. You have been wonderful. Now, let's revisit the archive of Sean Hurdy here on Travels Through a Kingdom.
Now, we have a lady by the name of Agatha, and she's going to give her surname to our listeners now. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. My name is Agatha Pach.
Okay.
And I come from Poland.
Yes.
And I will say poem in Polish, our Polish poem. I'd say all Polish people will know it.
Yeah. Now, we might have a little bit of a problem with our English-speaking Irish, you know. they may not know it, but anyway, give it to us anyway for our Polish friends here in Kerry, all right?
Thank you very much.
All right.
Now, it's going to be Adam Mickiewicz and from his book Pan Tadeusz. Litwo, ojczyzno moja, ty jesteś jak zdrowie. Ile cię trzeba cenić, ten tylko się dowie, kto cię stracił. Dziś piękność twą w całej ozdobie widzę i opisuję, bo tęsknię po tobie.
Thank you very much, thank you. And basically, in English, what is the theme of your poem?
Like, see, it was written when our country wasn't on the map. For 123 years, Poland wasn't on the maps of Europe at all. Mm-hmm. It was taken by three other countries. And it is about missing our country, about kind of missing our land, our language, our independence, basically. Yes. Yeah.
And how long are you working here?
A year now.
Yeah. I take it you love the job?
Of course. Yeah. I love it. It is a lovely place to work in.
Yeah. And you're a nurse?
Yeah. No, I'm a carer.
Yeah. There is a difference?
Between Poland and Ireland?
No, between a nurse and a carer.
Oh, yeah. Oh, a huge difference. Huge difference.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you very much. Bye now.
A lady by the name of Amelia, how are you today?
Not too bad. No. You know, considering we are old, I never hardly sick, but I got some bit of sickness today in me somehow.
Did something happen to you, tell me? You're working with a walker there.
Oh, that's nearly 2 years ago, I suppose. Mm-hmm. I broke my hip, I fell at home. I slipped, I don't know what, in the kitchen.
And somebody told me you were dancing.
I wasn't. I'm afraid. I wasn't dancing at all. But I was very lucky that my home help was after arriving, because otherwise I'd be down and I'd stay there for the pain. I couldn't describe it to anyone. I don't know what happened. I fell anyway, and I broke my hip and hurt my knee as well.
But they got the hip right for you, did they?
They did.
Yeah.
I was carried off to the hospital, and they said it. Mind you, it was great, but I wasn't able to stand or walk on it for a number of months, you know.
And does it give you any trouble now?
No, thank God. I'm able to limp away with it. At my age, I'm lucky.
And what age would that be now?
My age? Oh, my age. I'm going in 93.
God bless you. 93?
Yeah. Yes, that's my age now then.
You must have had a tremendous, tremendous life, because you're very, you know, young-looking all the time.
Oh, God help us. Young-looking, thanks. No, I had not. I married in a place where there was two old ones, along with my husband, myself, and the man. And I had six children, seven. If we couldn't, we were very foolish. We had no life long ago.
Why did you say you were foolish now?
It was. We cut down altogether. We weren't able to go to town hardly.
You got out at some stage, though.
I had to go for shopping. That was the stages. Well, my husband used to bring it sometimes. Yeah, but I don't mind. It was all in my lifetime, I suppose. And it was all in my lifetime. And it was what other people had to do as well.
You spoke there about the hobby. Where did you meet him?
Oh, God. I'm too very inquisitive now. Where did I meet him? He was at his sister's, and they asked me down there. His sister was married to a cousin of my father's.
Right.
They asked me down for it. I don't know what it was, but I went down there anyway, and he was there. And that's why I saw
him. And you kind of liked him when you saw him?
Kind of liked him, yes, that was it. Yeah. We got married anyway. That was the end of that story.
And there was no dowry or anything involved, was there?
There'd be dowries too at that time. Dowries, they should get, they shouldn't be mentioned inside the farm. Paid enough for dowries.
Tell me, how are you getting on in here anyway?
Oh, it was very nice. I couldn't go home. I couldn't walk when I came out of here. Like, yeah. They wouldn't keep me in the hospital. I was there for 3 or 4 weeks, and I came home then, and I was only, my leg was all in plaster, of course, and right. I had a chair. I was going around in a chair for a long time.
Yes.
And then I learned to stand with the sled.
Yes.
And learned to walk. Well, I don't walk alone, but sometimes I'd forget it and I'd go across the room. I can walk grand with it now. Like.
Oh, yeah. You came in that door very good anyway.
I can walk around. we'd be sitting only for it.
Yeah, and do they take you uptown now?
No.
Wouldn't they?
No. Well, I wouldn't expect them to. There's too many here to be giving them privileges. Well, I'm only 3 miles from the town,
right.
4 miles. If my daughter comes in, I could go out with her for an evening if I wanted to,
yeah.
I'd say. But I don't. Well, there's one coming from America now today. She's home, and she'll come.
Yes.
She'll come over, but we might go for a meal or something like
that.
Oh,
that'd be nice. And you'd ever take a drop of sherry or anything like that?
Oh, I would at Christmas, of course.
Yeah.
It is nice. I know I don't bother. I drink a drop of sherry any time.
Yeah.
What's just the name of it is, I don't know.
Winter's Tale.
No, I don't like that at all.
Don't you?
No, I drank it all right. Yesterday, quite a lot to drink. We had no time. Once a year, Christmas.
Yes.
That was all now.
I wish you well for the rest of your life, and take care of yourself here, all right?
Yeah, will you? And thanks for the...
Thank you very much.
For seeing us. Yeah.
I'm delighted to be here today with you. Thank you.
And that was the archive of Sean Hurley here on Travels Through a Kingdom this evening. I want to say a huge thank you to Aideen O'Connell and to Nell Moore-Ryan for coming on tonight's show, and of course for you for tuning in as well. This show will be podcasted soon, so just search Travels Through a Kingdom on Spotify or on the Radio Kerry website. Or if you want to listen back to any other shows, like I was mentioning about Nell Kelleher's interview last week, you can look back for it there too. Stay with us here on Radio Kerry as Elaine is on the way with 7 days, and then Sean Riley takes us through the night with Irish favourites. So until next Sunday, I'll talk to you then. Take care of yourself. Bye bye.